Over in Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 20. The authors have entitled our lesson, The Forerunner of the Savior. The Forerunner of the Savior. Matthew and Mark take meticulous measures to point out the physical births of both Jesus and John the Baptist. While other writers, such as John and Paul, they don't deal too much with the birthstone of either. But I think it's real important today, and especially for us as we are assembled here with so many things to be thankful for, so many great families as I look around the room, celebrate the Smiths, and can always recount on our anniversary in December, as long as the Smiths. The Smiths are going to be here, you know. And how many years is it, Cully? 47 years. God is so good. God's so good. Especially for a woman who looks about 39. And, it's really robbed the cradle, you know. And but families are important, very important. And what the authors have decided to do, Sister Karen, today is to take us back and show us that God is a keeper of promises. Amen. God is a keeper of promises, and he's an answerer of prayer. And we're going to find today, even when you don't even pray right, you will not thwart the plans of God by how and when you pray. Because God's plans are eternal. And God's plans are sovereign. And God is sovereign. And therefore, he does exactly what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Now what he tries to do and attempts to do, and with much success, with regularity, is to deal with folk who are praying and yet not believing. To deal with folk who are praying and yet not trusting. The vow on Zacharias, the priest, was that he was just an ordinary man, married to an ordinary woman. It's interesting what God does with and through ordinary people. Because what we're going to see today is that God is going to make a promise to a very ordinary couple. What makes them extraordinary is that they are mentioned here in Luke as he begins to chronicle the life of the Savior. And he says that every Savior ought to have an Ed McMahon. he's got to have a straight man that comes and announces him and keeps things in order. But we're going to see the straight man that God uses to bring into the world to introduce us to the Savior is hardly a straight man. As a matter of fact, he's described as wild and almost psychedelically crazy, wearing these ghastly uniforms and eating honey and declaring one message, repent. Stop doing what you're doing. And this morning we're going to have a look at how a messenger, you know, God still speaks. He still speaks. And here's a physical manifestation again to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, to Zacharias first. And that's what we primarily deal with this morning, and how he responded. people that have been praying for something, earnestly praying for something, yet not really believing. There are many of us that got more years behind us than we got in front of us now. But you know what? Whatever you've been praying for, God, in His time, will bring it to fruition. Now, I know some of you have abandoned those prayers and those dreams that you may have had when you were 20 and 30. But God always answers prayer. He either says yes, no, or not now. And He doesn't have a calendar like you have on a calendar. He's not controlled by time. He knows exactly when it needs to happen. Because He knew from day one that Elizabeth and Zacharias would conceive a child. But how is it that you're 80 years old and still praying for a child? Y'all didn't hear me. I said you're 80. Most of y'all want to give up after 40. Hear this couple. 80 years old and still praying and still doing ministry. Because, as we will read this morning, we'll see that Zacharias was doing ministry when the word of the Lord came to him about what he was going to do. It doesn't indicate what Zacharias and Elizabeth were praying for in terms of ministry, but we do know that when a woman, especially in that civilization, was in fact barren, could not give birth to children, she was kind of looked askance. You know, she wasn't widely accepted based strictly on her perceived fertility. But see, it doesn't matter how people see you. It's how God sees you. And God saw her as a fertile plantation. And that in His own time, in the fullness of time, He would bring it into fruition. He would bring in the right person to introduce the right Christ. And so, Luke chapter 1, verse 8, we see in those first two verses maybe some interesting matter. Verse 8.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course.
What happened?
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
80 years old, and he gets his first opportunity to burn incense in the temple. And some of you complaining at 30 that God is not using you. He gets his first opportunity because, as you know about the tribes, how they were ordered, the Levi tribe, the priests were ordered, orders of companies of 24. Basically, it was known that you would get to serve one time in a lifetime. And this was his time. 80 years old. They introduced him earlier as a righteous man. Faithful in many ways, him and Elizabeth. 80 years old. Did I say he was 80? Did I say Wayne? Did I say he was 80? Oh, okay. Right. 80 years old. Doing his duty as it was prescribed. And him and his 80 plus year old wife have been praying because she was barren and could not have a child. But he didn't let his lack of what seemingly God not answering his prayers keep him from his duties. When his time came up, he didn't say, hey, won't you younger fellas, I done waited all this long and ain't nothing happened, and I haven't had my children. You know, excuse abuse. He said, let me go to the temple. Let me offer the prayers, burn the incense. And Luke records that there were people praying also. Extraordinary things happen when ordinary people pray. Extraordinary things. Come watch with me. Verse 10 says, See, y'all thought I made that part up about the people were praying. Somewhere, it was either a morning shift or a night shift. But there were people praying at the temple, watching the priest go in to perform his duty. And nobody said, no one, nowhere in recorded scripture do you find people saying, he's too old. Why don't Deacon Sneed retire? He's too old. No, they were doing what they were supposed to do, praying. They were ordinary people praying. And there appeared unto him, and the him there is Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. As he was performing his duty, the Lord came to him. And folks, some of you are in that same dilemma. You're in a dark winter right now. But if you would just be faithful, just go on and do ministry, the Lord will talk you through this thing. You know how I know? Because he went to the temple here. And while doing the duty in the temple, there was an angel. Oh, it's that one that we know, Gabriel. And we know that any time Gabriel shows up, there's going to be some good news. That's what I like. Now, I don't know about that Michael. But that Michael shows up, here's some wrath. Here's some head rumbling. Okay, here's some head whipping when Michael shows up. But when Gabriel shows up, you know something good's about to happen. Oh, let me tell you, I can see Zacharias now as he hears the voice of this messenger from God. What is it that he's saying? Does this happen every time a priest comes into the temple? Just imagine the kinds of things that Zacharias is thinking. And when Zacharias saw him, he was... y'all saw it. He was troubled. And fear fell upon him. Don't get scared in the service. But he's human. You imagine you're up here in this classroom. I can see Fred Kendall now up here getting ready for Sunday school, family church school, rather, on Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, an angel sitting back there in the back, he thought he was in the room by himself and talking. Keith, he would be troubled. Trust me, I know Fred. He would be troubled. And fear would fall upon him. You know why? Because he's an ordinary human being. He's an ordinary human being. He felt the same sort of emotion that Mary felt when Gabriel came to her. But notice one thing. Anytime God is about to speak, you know one thing. You don't have to be afraid. And he will always, his first message will be, don't be afraid. Fear not. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear when you've been praying all this time. You have nothing to fear when you've been trusting God all this time. You have nothing to be troubled about when the word of God is coming. Because God will always speak. And he is always speaking. The problem is that we don't listen. We're too busy doing other things. But notice, the most important job this guy has had in 80 years, Sister Edwards, is interrupted by somebody talking. And this troubled him. And he was scared. He was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. God Almighty. You know that thing you've been praying about? It may be a short time. It may be a long time. But know one thing. God hears your prayers. He hears every one of them. And to hear someone come and confirm that God has heard. See, because many of us pray, and we don't think, we act like God ain't hearing our prayer. We act like God's got a bad hearing aid or something. His batteries went out. God hears, sees everything, because he's everywhere. And he certainly hears your prayer. He heard your prayer about your employment. He heard your prayer about your travel. He heard your prayer about your mother. He heard your prayer about your brother, your sister, your fellow pew worker, your pastor. And he certainly heard your prayer about your family church school teacher. God hears your prayers. But every now and then, we hear the voice of heaven, full volume, especially when it's very important. What Elizabeth and Zacharias is about to experience is very important. He's working, he's been praying, but he knows one thing. God answers prayer. Or does he? Because listen to this. Your prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Well, this is very ordinary. And if the right person wasn't speaking this, this would be like when I call one of those false prophets running up to you, bud, telling you about how God has blessed you and anointed you. And, you know, if God wants you to know something, he'll tell you. Right straight up. He didn't send someone else, Terry, to tell them, to tell Zacharias. He said, I'm sending someone who knows. Can you park right there for me? Someone who knows. See, because if you don't know nothing, you can't say nothing. That's why we really embrace evangelism so much. Because you gotta know in order to go. And if you go and you don't know, there ain't nothing you can say. I came here, I don't know how I got here, but I ain't got nothing to say. But the angel knew. The angel knew. Trust me, I'll be right back with you on that. The angel knew some stuff that Zacharias didn't even know. Zacharias had no idea what that boy's name was going to be. The angel said his name going to be John. Now, normally, and especially in the Jewish culture, the father has the right to name the child. Zacharias is receiving a whole bunch of information. And see, y'all are focusing on the name, but you forgot. He said, the angel said, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son. That's what Zacharias there dealing with. He said, wait a minute. About a name. Look here, Jack. You're talking about Elizabeth. You're talking about my wife. You're talking about my first cousin on my auntie them side. You're talking about my wife. I've been here. I've been with her all these years. And she ain't bear nothing. And you're talking about she's going to bear me a son? All right. Because that's a very human response. Y'all know that's what y'all would say. Oh, yeah. Y'all wouldn't trust it. But yet you've been praying for it. You better stay there. Better watch it. I'm going to throw you a curveball in a minute. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. This angel sure knows a lot. Because I'm telling you, I know some of y'all held those babies up and says, yeah, this boy going to be this. This boy is going to be that, and he won't do this, and he won't do that. And 20 years later. But the angel assures them that he's going to be of that Nazarene order. That he won't be much for strong drink. He's not going to even cut his hair. He's going to be a wild man. Telling you what this boy is going to look like. I said, you can't be embarrassed. We already know he's going to be wild. He's not going to be like anybody. He ain't going to look like the rest of y'all. He's going to dress a little different. But he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even in his mother's womb. God's word, you can always count on it. Don't believe some of these other folk that comes around Christmas time trying to lift your wallets. You know, donate to this and give me this and the Lord's going to bless you with this and he's going to bless you with this. Notice that the angel did not ask Zacharias, not even for an offering. Because that wasn't his job. That messenger's job was to give the message. Oh, some preachers won't like me, Keith, for that. But the messenger's job is to give the message. There's other folk that are around that can collect the offering plate. You give the message. And he says, this boy shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a little strange, but he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord, their God. But because of the child, that your wife, who has never had a child, because of the life that she's going to bring into the world, many of it in Israel will turn to God. That's an anointment on your life. You know, and it doesn't go back to Mac. I know in your church at home, you know, they told you that boy's going to be a preacher. He looked like a preacher. He dressed like a preacher. No. See, they don't know. But this angel knew. Because this angel is telling Zacharias that his wife, even though she's 80 plus years old, will bear a son and he would be great. And these are the reasons he would be great. And if nothing else, if you, anytime any of you bring an evangelist into the world, that's a great child. Because anybody who carries the word of God is great. Anybody who's willing to see that other folk don't die in their sins, got to be great. As a matter of fact, they're not only great, they're beautiful. He told him that he's going to dress all crazy, and especially Matthew, and that he's not going to cut his hair. He may not look like nothing, but he's going to be something. He's going to be great. And as a matter of fact, he may not look like something to you, but he's really beautiful. And you know how I know? Paul later writes, how beautiful are the feet that carry. Oh, I know what I'm talking about, guys. I got this thing. I'm telling you, I got one our purpose here this morning, to show you that God answers prayers, and that when God, you can tell by the bio on John the Baptist, that God's got a purpose for this child, and it's a very important one, and that your lack of faith and trust will not thwart the plans of God. He'll use ordinary people who appear to be faithful, who will doubt something, because you know what? When something is really impossible, you've been praying for it, but you really don't trust God for it. Ah. But you know what? I know they believe in prayer because they kept on praying. And just maybe that's enough to get you over, to just believe in prayer. Believe that God will hear that prayer and respond to it in kind, no matter how crazy it seems. It's crazy that Triple would ever think that he would win a beauty contest. It's crazy to think that Cecil Gwynn would be president of the United States, although it might not be as crazy as it once was, but it's crazy. But God answers prayers. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Even when the righteous get weak sometimes. Because the older we get in this thing, and the longer we've been out there praying, you know, like some of you may have been praying for children. Keep on praying for them. Don't nag them. Just pray for them. In the fullness of, pray for them. Some of you may have been praying for spouses. No, Don't nag them. Pray for them. Because God answers prayers. Trust me. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. And just because something seems extraordinarily difficult, it's nothing but chump change for God. But Zacharias dealt with a few brief moments of, look here, I've been praying for it. Matter of fact, let me in on a secret. This is what he's going through in his mind. Elizabeth's been praying, but I've been knowing. There ain't nothing in this barren womb. I know it can't happen. And what happens is we know too much sometimes. We are educated beyond our own intelligence. We know too much. God knows everything. And he knows that if he can make a jackass speak, way back there in the Old Testament, that this is nothing for him. Because he's used to taking things in the natural and endowing them with supernatural powers. He's used to taking ordinary folk, people with ordinary hopes. How ordinary is it for a man and a woman to want to have a child? That's just ordinary. But see, what happens is, it was ordinary when you were 20. But when you're 88, the last thing some of us are thinking about at 88 is some more children. Or children at all, if you ain't never had none. Last thing you're thinking about. What? If it's difficult when you're 20, and I subscribe to that, I used to think, you know, people, they need to go to college. Now, get married as soon as you can. Because babies are for young folk. And if you don't believe me, wait till them grandchildren come around. You know, yeah, Lord, this is for young folk. Glad I did this when I was young. Mother, come get your children. It's unbelievable. You've been praying for it, though. You've been praying for that thing. Those ordinary prayers you've been sending up every day, day in and day out. But do you really trust God for them? Do you really trust God for the difficult things in your life? Or do you try to handle those yourself? We do. And I'll stay with children. You have a wayward child. That's the most heartbreaking thing in the world. I'd rather have a wayward spouse than a wayward child. Tell you the truth. Wayward child is tough. I know I was one. It's tough. But grandmama kept praying for me. And her prayer was, don't let him die out here, this miserable existence, till he experienced the goodness of the Lord. Prayers answered. Prayers answered. God will answer a prayer when you're not even around. Long after you're gone, God will still be answering. Many of us are here, Sister Marshall, because of the prayers of those that have gone before us. Amen. Not that we've been so good. Not that we've done the right thing. It's just that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And that's why you got to keep on praying. And you should not doubt. And I'm going to tell you why right here. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In other words, have daddies start being compassionate for their children. This guy got a powerful ministry. John the Baptist is probably the most unsophisticated prophet, teacher, evangelist you'll ever run across. He was. But his mission was to get families back together, to have fathers loving their children. And it was prophesied that this forerunner to Christ would do this long before he ever did it, at least 9 months. Because Elizabeth's not even pregnant yet. But 9 months later, here comes John the Baptist. But what else? And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You got to have somebody who's, you know, someone who's to till the ground. See, that's what John the Baptist was. John was not that light. But his job was to introduce the light of the world. And many of us, once we embrace our real purpose in life, matters become a lot more easy to deal with. They become much easier to deal with if we would just do what God has called us to do. But see, some of us don't want to be the forerunner. We want to run the leg. What do they call that in the relay? The final? Anchor. All right. Got some track stars in here. We run the anchor. But the most important thing is a good start. What about the guy that runs that first leg? To give him that big lead. John the Baptist. And it's foretold of what he would be. Listen to the response. Matter of fact, I want y'all to read the response. Because, as a matter of fact, I want everybody in here. Now, I'm going to watch the lips. And believe me, got good eyesight today. So I'll be able to see those lips. Where it says Zacharias in verse 18, I want you to call out your name. Do y'all understand? Comprenez-vous? Yes, sir. Okay, all right. Let's read. Hold up. I heard Zacharias. Now, the last time I checked, zoom, nobody in here is named Zacharias. I said very clearly, put your name in here. So I should have heard some Bud, some Terry's, Joshua. All right, let's go. Let's go, guys. I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. See, because it wasn't about to come out his mouth to say, and she's an old woman. That's something you don't ever say. I mean, that's something that is not even in your vocabulary. I don't care if you've been married 900 years. That phrase does not come out your mouth. And so he wants the angel, he wants the messenger to understand that he doesn't really understand this. He says, one thing I know I'm old. And one thing I do know, I know my wife is well stricken in years. And I know that an old man and a woman who is well stricken in years can't have no baby. Can't be what you just said. I don't believe you. I doubt what you say. You've been praying for it, but yet when the word of God comes, you say, I doubt that. That don't make sense. Wait a minute. First of all, I'm old. My wife's well stricken in years. Thirdly, I know biology. And unless there's a resurrection occurring, oh, y'all ain't ready for this. The angel says, notice, the angel lets him talk, doesn't try to interrupt him. He just listened to him, because that's where we are. When God is just about to do something powerful in our life, that's when we want to doubt. Y'all don't hear me. You've been here a long time. You've seen a lot of things happen at resurrection. Surely God has nothing else in his bag for resurrection. You don't know that. And what you've been praying for? You've been praying for, Lord, build the church. Bring us together in Christian love. You know, unify the church. You know, touch your body. Touch this local assembly. And just when God is about to put his hand on you, sends you a clear illumination of a revelation that's already been there. You say, how can that be? And I can tell by the actions. Last week I shared with you, 2 weeks ago, that you don't believe that the Lord is coming back. And the hate mail is vicious. You don't. Because if you believe that Jesus was coming back today, our lives would be different. Before you're too hard on Zacharias, that's where he was. Now, are you really a doubter? Do you not trust? It's just that you have those moments. We are human. We are frail. You're going to have that. Don't judge each other by one action, by one moment. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all got to hear me. Because if you can't hear this, you can't hear that. What you're about to hear. Don't judge by one action. Here's Zechariah. Let God be God. God will deal with it. And let me tell you one thing. I guarantee you that you would rather God deal with a situation than you and I. The people that you have some resentment for, some judgments against, you let God handle it. And I guarantee you they would prefer that you handle it than God. Because God's plans are not going to be thwarted. I just said that three times now. Because you doubt. Or because you don't want to pray right. If you've been praying for something, you ought to embrace it. Now, let's see. And the angels answered, saying unto him, I am no one shouted, and I'm disappointed. Because that's the heart of the day's message. Wait a minute. I've given you this child's bio. What you've given me is, how can this be? I'm going to answer your question. Because it's always polite to answer questions. I'm going to answer your question. And I'm going to start off by saying, look here, Zach. I'm Gabriel. I'm a messenger from the Lord. And I'm from the very presence of the Lord. The only way that I'm able to tell you what I'm telling you is that I've stood by the throne of God. In his very presence, and I've heard every word that you uttered to him, and I know what him and the Godhead have talked about. First of all, I'm not upset with you, Zach. I'm just letting you know that if it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you. But if I told you, you can believe it. Because I came from the very presence of God. I've heard the intimate discussions about your prayer. You've been praying for your finances. And now I've heard how God's going to work that thing out. How he's going to introduce you to a guy named Clarence Wooten. And you guys are going to sit down and put together a strategy. You know how Dave Ramsey will come in and say one thing on the radio that will lead you. I was there. Gabriel. I'm just a messenger. But you can believe this messenger because of my credentials. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not in the Word of God. He says, because prayer and the Word go hand in hand. I'm bringing you a word straight from the throne. And am sent, I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. I came from the presence of God. I didn't come to talk to Elizabeth. I didn't come to talk to Danny, Keith, Robert, Coleman, Fred, Wayne. Didn't come to talk to Bud. I came to talk to you.
That's right.
And see, folks, at some point in time, you've got to take this word of God and you've got to say, Lord, speak to me. And when he speaks, say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Because see, the word that you read today may not bless me the way that it blesses you. Because it has a blessing for you to deal with your circumstance. God knows the every day Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. And they are having discussions. There go Fred again. He says he wants this. But Father, here's what he really wants. He says he needs this. But dear God, this is what he really needs. We know that ain't good for him right now. Zacharias would have never prepared for this one glorious day if he'd had children. We know him. This word is for him. Zach, you're going to have this son. You've been faithful. You've been trusted. Don't give up now. Don't just when you're about to be blessed. Don't give up. Don't, I ain't got no hope. What do you mean you ain't got no hope? You got a savior. You got hope. What do you mean? Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it here. I know how you're going to make it here, by the grace of God. Because God's plans will not be thwarted. I'll speak to my member. Maybe the delay is so that you can get ready for the conversation that's going to occur. God will give you something to talk about. See, because of the plans of God will not be thwarted. Because of your disbelief, because of your praying or not praying. These were praying folk. But as we saw here this morning, Zacharias had some doubt. But folk, God answers prayers. But I'm going to tell you, he deals with doubt. God does not like doubt. Does anybody hear me this morning? You can play this old pity-pat game if you want to. You can have this old pablum-puking philosophy about God and who he is and what he does if you want to. God does not play. You got game? God's got more game than you ever thought about. Listen to this. And we think that it'll be okay. That we can say anything to God. That we can doubt him in any kind of way. You know, just because we've done a few good things. But do you realize there ain't none righteous? Not even one? Even Jesus declared, why do you call me good? There ain't none good. And just because, you know, you can't, God is really going to have a good time today because you came to church. God is really going to be happy today. Well, I'm here to tell you, God will answer a prayer, but he'll always deal with your doubt. Don't doubt, and here's a good reason why not to. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak to thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. Quicker than quick. faster than right now. Okay, you got a lot to say about the workings of God. So guess what? I'm going to answer your prayer and shut your mouth at the same time. Y'all better hear me. This is exactly what he said. He says, I came to show you these things. I wanted you to hear this word. But guess what? It appears that you may be a little better at listening than talking. So I'm going to give you a solid night tonight. Because from until the day, the things that I was going to show you, the things that I was going to show you, you won't be able to speak about it. You won't be able to say a word. Because you know how some of you are? As soon as God blesses you, you got a whole bunch of word after that. But while God was directing you, telling you that this was going to happen, oh, Lord, I just don't see how that's going to happen. God says, okay, see if you can do it without saying another word. Read verse 20 in its entirety for me, guys, and we can get out of here. And behold,
thou shalt be done, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
You see, God's plans aren't going to be thwarted because of your doubt. You might as well believe, but your participation in the miracle, your participation, because can you imagine Elizabeth walking around there for 9 months pregnant? Hey, you know how you guys are. You know, it's just like I call it the Willie Hayward syndrome. When Waylon was going off to get married, he told everybody on base, we're going to get married. Everybody he saw, you know what I'm saying. We're going to get married. We're going to get married. They got married. And then she had the first child, Reggie. And he walked around for 9 months. Oh, look at that. Oh, man, oh, that's going to be some kind of boy. That's some kind of boy right there. Oh, yes. Oh, man, I tell you, that's something else. That's great. Zachariah never got a chance to do that. He just sat. And he beheld. And he listened. There was a wonderful story going on for 9 months because he knew what the angel had told him, that lo, Elizabeth would bear a son, and that this son would prepare folk to meet their Savior. Oh, some marvelous stories could have been told by Zacharias, but he said not a word because he prayed. But yet he doubted. When God was ready to act in his life, there was doubt. January, you prayed. February, you prayed. March, you prayed. April, you prayed. May, you prayed. June, you prayed. July, you prayed. August, you prayed. September, you prayed. October, you prayed. November, you pray. Lord, this ain't going to happen this year, is it? Just when God is about to be miraculous in your life, you start doubting. And there's a penalty for doubt. God answers prayers. He answers it in his own time. Accept your miracle. There's a miracle out there for you every day. God is operating. That's how he operates. But you can't doubt. You can't doubt where you are in life. Go on, do the ministry. Don't doubt. Pray the prayer, but don't doubt. And remember one thing, that whether you pray or whether you do the ministry, God's plans aren't going to be thwarted. Because here's how the Christmas story is summed up. Jesus the Christ, John the Baptist, who introduced Jesus the Christ, came down here through an earthly mother so that you and I could be children of a heavenly Father.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.